Steve Wilks, head coach, Arizona Cardinals. Yesterday, quarterback. How's Sam look?
He looked pretty good overall. I'm really pleased where he is right now, particularly talking to Byron, the things they're doing in the meeting rooms, individual period, and, you know, just really recapping with Mike every day and where those guys are. So even talking to the strength and conditioning coaches, Buddy Morris, and everybody's pleased right now with his performance and, most importantly, his strength in his knee.
Yeah, talking about Sam Bradford, of course. How many reps will Sam Bradford get this preseason game? That's what I want to know. You know what? One series maybe of five, six, seven plays maybe, if he can put those together, that might be it. Pick up a couple of first downs, right? And then whatever happens after that, okay, that's it, Sam. You go sit down. Or maybe if they go three and out, Douglas, on that first series, maybe he gets another series.
As of yesterday, this was Steve Wilks being asked that question. How much will he play?
It's not a magic formula. I think you got to be able to, you know, get a feel how the week is going. And then most importantly, I think it's also based off who's in there, meaning the offensive line. We have a certain amount of plays. I want to see the ones. I haven't, you know, sat down and talked with the coaching staff. We're going to do that on Wednesday. Talk about play time and, you know, he's going to get in there, want to be able to get some timing done in a game-like type situation with the receivers as well as the first offensive line. So, and it's going to be an opportunity for Josh to be able to step in there.
Josh Rosen. Honestly, it is the undercurrent to the entire training camp, is it not? And the preseason as well. Josh Rosen. When do you want to see Josh Rosen play?
I want to win Super Bowl. I want to be the winningest quarterback in the history of the National Football League.
Keeping tabs on the Cards' rookie QB. This is the Rosen Wrap on the Doug and Wolf Show.
The head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, Steve Wilks, stepped to the microphone today. This is sound that is only 5 minutes old. So you're getting it first this morning.
Nice.
All right, Coach Wilks, for the Rosen Wrap. What do you want to see from your number one pick in the first round? Your number one pick, not the number one pick overall.
Well, really, just, you know, the mechanics of really running the offense, putting guys in the right position from a protection standpoint, you know, going through his progression of reads, and just really trying to detail the fundamentals.
Okay, that's basic.
Well, can I just jump in there and say that is it right there? I mean, honestly, that's all. That's all I want to see. How many times do they re-huddle? How many times does he call a timeout? How many times do you see confusion out there on the field? Count them. Mark them down. How many times does he pull the ball down and look like he's totally lost going through his progression? How quickly does it come out of his hand? That's it.
Well, then, how long do you think he should play in order to do that?
I'm going to go with snaps, Basin Onions. Okay. I'm going to say I'd love to see 30.
30 snaps. Okay. Steve Wilks, how much will he play?
Not yet. And, you know.
Wait. What do you mean not yet? How much is he going to play?
Not yet. Oh. And, you know, I don't want to get into numbers because I don't want to come in here next week and you guys try to hold me to those numbers. So, you know, we want him to play quite a bit and really get into the flow of the game.
We want him to play quite a bit and get into the flow of the game.
Yes, okay, maybe 30's a little high after listening to him. But he did say, you know, hey, listen, we want him to play. We want him to play a fair amount here, so maybe it's 20.
He's listed as number two on the depth chart, but is there any chance it's Bradford for a series, maybe Glennon until halftime, and then Bradford the whole second half?
Bradford? No.
Or, no, not Bradford. Rosen the whole second half?
I don't think so.
No?
I think he's going to go with the twos. That's
okay.
What I think.
Okay. Josh Rosen? Well, this is a question for Steve Wilks, and it is, will the first preseason game be a hard transition for him after you've watched OTAs, after you've watched 2 weeks at camp? Do you think it's going to be a difficult transition?
Well, it just varies. You know, sometimes guys get over excited about, you know, the first game, and it's just football. He's been playing this game for a long time, and he just got to get in there and relax and do the things that he's been coached to do, and I think he'll be fine.
Coach, it is just football. It is just football. You know what? It just you totally took me off guard there with your estimation as to how the quarterback rotation might go. Don't forget Chad Kanoff. Don't forget Chad Kanoff, this kid from Princeton. This kid's looked really, really good, okay? And I think he's going to play the fourth quarter. I would not be surprised in the least if we saw quarterback number four, Chad Kanoff, play in the fourth quarter. He's really looked good in practice. I think he's going to be your practice squad Q.
We talking about practice, man.
Where's the coffee? Seriously.
Gonna need that one, Bear, if you don't mind. Without a doubt. Madden 19 drops this Friday. We're celebrating by giving away copies every hour all day long. Just text Madden right now to 620-620 and then listen for your name coming up Friday morning. Starts with us at 6 o'clock, runs all the way through the end of Burns and Gambo. Plus, one grand prize winner will score a console of their choice, PS4 Pro, or you can grab an Xbox One S. What do you want? Once again, if you want in on this, text Madden to 620-620.
It was Chad Kanoff that got me all messed up. Chad Kanoff.
Feel better? You think Kanoff can pitch in the eighth inning? That's what I want to know. Coming up next.
Kanoff!
Do you have any Diekmans at work? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Going to talk Diamondbacks in a second, but something just happened in the not-so-beautiful part of the program. We're not going to go into it in detail, but a dramatic shift has just happened in the world of sports. The NCAA has just announced high school basketball players following their senior year, if they are acknowledged as a prime talent in USA basketball, can have an agent. High school. The NCAA is going to allow you to have an agent. And after your college season is over, every season, you can discuss with an agent what's going to happen in your future.
Wow.
Yes, agents coming out of high school for college basketball players as it relates to the NBA, not having an agent to negotiate where you're going to college.
Yeah, right.
But an agent to negotiate and to discuss your options as far as being a pro.
But of course, Doug Lease, as soon as you open up that can of worms right there, you know what's going to happen. Yep. There are going to be agents that are going to say, hey, this is about your brand.
Yeah.
Where you go.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot there. So more to digest about it. Huge change in the NCAA. Today's a big D-backs day and a big Cardinals day, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. But since it just happened, I wanted to let you know about it. This is Torrey Lovello after the game, and I love what he said. I think this is really strong.
Things broke down on us in the eighth inning. I know it wasn't pristine. We play good brand of baseball here, and we're going to address some of those concerns and make sure that we don't do it again. You don't see it here very often, and I'm proud of that. These guys are usually picking up the baseball and doing a very good job, and we're going to make sure that we address some of those needs.
That's strong.
Yeah, they don't beat themselves. That's what they don't do. I mean, honestly, if the Diamondbacks, there are games we've seen it where they've just lost. They weren't good enough to get the job done. We've seen those games over and over and over again. But they don't beat themselves. Rarely do they do that, Douglas.
Last night in the eighth inning was the definition of beating yourself. A bunt home run, technically a three-base error on the pitcher, Jake Diekman, and then an error on Steven Souza Jr. And Diekman contributed to that, too, because he sat and sulked about his error and didn't back up third. He did not rebound from that. Walk, single, walk, double, then did get a comebacker and was taken out of the game. Ziegler came in and got two of three batters out. However, he gave up an RBI single, scoring another one of Diekman's runs. So the eighth inning, complete and utter trash. It was a terrible baseball inning. But we talked to Mike Hazen, and the entire conversation with the general manager will be up at arizonasports.com in probably, what, Maloney, about an hour, something like that? We'll put Mike Hazen up. But this is what Mike said to us that was kind of interesting, of not concerned with Diekman's defense, even though he's looked bad on two different occasions already.
No. Not really. I think, you know, it's a tough play for a lefty coming off the mound. We saw it out in Chicago with TJ as well in that game against the Cubs. I do think that's a tough play for the lefty to come off the mound and turn and fire. You know, again, it was an unfortunate thing. The guy's a good runner. He was pretty close to Goldie, I think. I think if the runner hadn't been as close to Goldie, there's a chance that he could have picked it as well. And then, you know, obviously the inning went a little sideways on us there after that.
Little surprise just watching Jake Diekman, of course. I know nothing about this guy based on innings. I don't know anything about his makeup. I don't pretend to. But it looks like, it just looks like to me that the weight of the world is on him. It's upon him when he's out there on the hill, right? And maybe it's the fact that he came from Texas. Maybe it's the fact that they were 20 games below 500. Maybe it's the fact that he's in a pennant race. I don't know. Jake Diekman knows if, in fact, the pressure of playing for a good team and being in the playoff hunt is impacting him in any way, shape, or form. I don't know. He knows, I'll guarantee you that much, but he seems stiff to me. He seems a little mechanical, and just watching him last night, right, watching him try to feel that ball, it just summed it up for me. He looks robotic when he's out there competing right now. Even when he's pitching, he looks a little robotic. Now, again, I don't know if that is the typical Jake Diekman, it's always been him, or if, in fact, it's just maybe the pressure getting to him. But Jake Diekman knows.
When you're a left-handed pitcher, you know, you fall off the mound in that direction. So coming over to third base, I kind of – listen, Mike Hazen is a really smart guy, knows the game better than I do. But I admit, I didn't love his answer very much because that play was terrible. That play was a terrible, terrible play. And I don't really think it's that hard of a – it's a hustle play, but it's not that hard of a major league pitcher to make that play. And then he didn't give Goldie a chance. Now, I didn't like how Goldie stayed on the base. I think Goldie could have played it a lot better too. Goldie could have given up on that throw, come off the bag, and done whatever it takes to try to get in front of it. Okay, I think Goldie could have played it better, but I got to tell you, if you're playing first base and a guy throws it into the dirt that quickly and that hard, it does take you off guard. I mean, it is a whoa, and it's hard to get your feet set, but Goldie was so confused on it. I would have liked to have seen him get a better read on it, but that's asking a lot. I just look at that and I say, okay, if it's not a problem, if Diekman hasn't shown signs of being this bad defensively, how do you not wonder, is the pressure of a pennant race getting to him? Is he trying too hard to impress teammates? Is it the changeover? A lot of guys go through change and they're on a new team and just that makes them nervous. I don't know, but I think it's fair to be asking these questions because this organization has to know, can they trust this guy? And no matter what anybody says, the answer right now is no.
Yeah.
You can't. Now, you've got to anyway. You got to give him opportunities to earn the trust. But when you put him back out there, Jake Diekman, you've got a lot to prove right now because right now it looks like you're struggling to engage in a pennant race.
You know what? Do you have that Torrey Lovello cut once again, Douglas? Do you have that cut where he was talking about, we don't do that around here?
Things broke down on us in the eighth inning. I know it wasn't pristine. We played good brand of baseball here. And, you know, we're going to address some of those concerns and
it's one of the things I absolutely love about this team. I really do. They field their position base and onions. They play excellent defense. I absolutely love that, and I appreciate it, right? It's two-way players. It's having guys that hopefully are going to be able to go up there and not only help you out of the dish, but a guy that is going to win games and help you win games because he's going to field his position. I love two-way players. Guys who can do it offensively and guys who can do it defensively. I love two-way hockey players. I respect them greatly because of the brutality and the difficulty of playing that sport, physically, the game of hockey, right? The same thing could be said for basketball play. I love the two-way, the guy that's as equally good on the defensive end of the floor, Kawhi Leonard, as he is on the offensive side of the floor. Love two-way guys, complete players. And although I'm not saying the Diamondbacks lineup is this nefarious, oh, you're in for it lineup, you're going to get plowed by this lineup, I'm not saying that. Having said that, though, I love the fact that they play defense.
big conversation coming up at some point before 1:30. Sorry I can't give you a better time, but between 10 and 2, Bickley and Murata are going to be live at University of Phoenix Stadium. And one of the people that everybody's going to be staring at Saturday night, Mason Cole, new starting center for the Cardinals, is going to join them. So you've got that highlight with what Wolf is talking about. The rubber match of this Philly series is coming up at 12:40. The game is on ESPN 620 AM. You'll also have Burns and Gambo live from 2 to 6 at Chase Field with instantaneous reaction. And, of course, they'll be keeping their eyes on everything Cardinals. So lots of Cardinals 10 to 2. Lots of D-backs coming up 2 to 6 with Burns and Gambo live at Chase and Bickley and Murata live at University of Phoenix Stadium. The only broadcast entity in the Valley that's live from University of Phoenix Stadium during Cardinals training camp. Coming up next from the Auction Community Studios, preseason game one, Josh Rosen. It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Earlier this morning, about 30 minutes ago, Steve Wilks up at the podium. Question, what do you want to see from Josh Rosen in preseason game number one?
Well, really just, you know, the mechanics of really running the offense, putting guys in the right position from a protection standpoint, you know, going through his progression of reads. And just really trying to detail the fundamentals.
Okay. 5 minutes ago,
yeah.
Josh Rosen, it just happened. Josh Rosen stepping up to the podium, and he was asked something that's not quite the same question, but you can feel it. It's a little similar. What's been your biggest challenge so far as an NFL quarterback?
For the most part on the field, has been a lot of just the complexities of defenses and the fact that sort of all the positions on defense are blending into one, because DBs are getting bigger, linemen are getting smaller, but the DBs aren't losing quickness and D linemen aren't losing any of their strength. They're just like Buck was a safety that turned into a linebacker but can still move like a safety. Chandler Jones can drop into coverage and play linebacker. So I think that's the biggest thing, is that defenses are sort of, they can do anything they want because they're not really bound by the same rules that they used to be by body types.
It's what I love about the game. It's what I love about the game of football at the NFL level. It's a chess match. It really is. You heard him right there. This is the most ready NFL quarterback coming out of college by almost everyone's estimation. And when I say everyone, I'm talking about talent evaluators. And here he is saying, you know what, it's the complexity. It's the complexity of the defense here as a rookie. It's one of the reasons why you need to understand how difficult it is, Basinonians, for a young guy, for a rookie to come in and play in the National Football League right away. This is the reason why I believe the right way to do it, if at all possible, is to go ahead and give them a little sugar and then get them out. Give them a little sugar and then get them out. Give them some more and then get them out. Rarely do you see Deshaun Watson. And I give Deshaun Watson a ton of credit. And I love Deshaun Watson. Oh, yeah. I think he's really going to be good when he learns to play from the pocket. He made a lot of plays and threw for a lot of yards outside the pocket.
One of the themes of Josh Rosen at the podium today, and I think this is kind of interesting. I love that we've all gone through it if you're a golfer, where you get put in a foursome or you're doing a scramble and you have one heavy hitter. And how do you not, okay, I'm going to try to gear up on this one. You know, you try to match it and you know it's wrong.
You get into bad habits.
And you do it anyway. Well, Josh Rosen has never been said to have the number one arm of the 2018 draft.
No.
He was never said he's got the best arm strength.
Josh Allen.
But remember Rich Gannon. Remember how fantastic Rich Gannon was at all the 900 different arm slots he had. He did not care how he looked throwing a pass. He cared if it was caught. I kind of like what Josh Rosen said about his different arm slots that he's learning and using.
I think as a quarterback is a very valuable trait. It's not just like how hard or far you can throw. It's being able to change your arm slot and delivery. I think Aaron's the best at it because sort of like mid throw, you'll see windows a little bit as guys' hands are up, and your ability to change your arm slot, throw like sidearm to fit like a quick screen in there or just kind of contort your body to get halfback screens and stuff in there or anything. I think that's probably one of the more valuable traits from like a throwing perspective, is your ability to change your delivery.
No doubt about it. Aaron Rodgers is the best. He is the most talented arm, one of the most talented arms I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
he'll throw it any way he needs to throw it, right? And yet it's Rocket Man.
As a follow-up, he was asked, have anybody tried to change your mechanics coaches?
They drafted me for what I can do, and I'm here to deliver that.
Oh, wow. Good morning.
Whoa, how about that? No, that's a big fat no, I guess, right? You know what also, too? It's not just Josh Rosen. Yes, we're all very interested. How many reps will Josh Rosen get? I think maybe 20 to 25, somewhere in there. I think depending on how the game is going as well, right, and how well they're moving the ball and whether or not he's had enough pass attempts, right, in this new Mike McCoy offense. You know they're going to want to play him quite a bit, I would imagine, you know, in the preseason and get him going, get him off to a – but it's not just Josh Rosen. It's Christian Kirk as well, based in Orleans. What am I looking for? You know what? I want to see him get targeted two or three times. He's probably going to get maybe 15 reps. I'd love to see him targeted three times. Can I be so bold as saying Christian Kirk? I'd love to see him get targeted three times. Because, again, think about what it means. More times than not, it means you ran the correct route. It means you got open and the cue threw you the ball. You can't control where the Q throws the ball or whether or not a defender makes a play. You can't. If he makes a play, hey, you know what? Great play by the defender. But you can control targets. How many times you ran the right route, and guess what? You got open. You were good enough to get open. It's not the completions that I'm looking. It's the targets that I want to see from Christian Kirk. Chase Edmonds as well, right? Boy, a lot of guys are talking about Paulie is talking about this very thing. Just Chase Edmonds.
I love Chase Edmonds.
Whether or not Chase Edmonds, they're going to run the same offense with David Johnson and Chase Edmonds.
I'm really interested in that.
Interesting.
Madden 19 drops this Friday. We're celebrating by giving away copies every hour all day long. Just text Madden right now to 620-620. Then listen for your name coming up on Friday. We're going to start the contest at 6 in the morning, and it runs all day through Bickley and Murata and Burns and Gambo. Plus, one grand prize winner is going to score a console of their choice, PS4 Pro or an Xbox One S. Once again, text Madden to 620-620.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Take that, Maloney.
Who is the Arizona Diamondbacks' best catcher? 41% say Alex Avila. 41% say Jeff Mathis. 18% say John Ryan Murphy. But the question I posted on the Doug and Wolf show, have you guys seen the Arizona Cardinals' new like gridiron burger? It's like 7 pounds. Yeah.
Yes. $75.
Well, I think as a show we should do it. Not individually. We can see if we can finish it. But anyway, I asked, will you try the Arizona Cardinals gridiron burger challenge? Which is, I think you have to eat the 7 pound burger in an hour.
Do it and you get a jersey and a picture.
80% say no, 20% say yes.
Okay, first of all, the other question. What is going on choosing Alex Avila? It's clearly Jeff Mathis because look at all that he does. This one, though, can you talk trash from when you were younger? I guarantee you between 13 and 30, I could have eaten that.
Yeah.
And no questions asked. And I'll throw my 18-year-old self under the bus and say, he's done it. There, yes. Good. Now, as a show, the four of us, we could easily put that down in an hour.
Yeah, but that's not what it's all about.
No, we don't get credit
for it. Eating it yourself, right? Yeah.
Well, then, you know what we can do? We can see which one of us can finish the most in an hour.
You know what? I'm on the treadmill now these days, Maloney.
Oh,
right?
So that'll screw up your what are you setting? Oh, yeah. Regimen?
I mean, I've got a goal.
What are you setting it at, 3 miles an hour?
I am rolling on the treadmill once again. I'm doing road work, ladies and gentlemen.
And then Paul Calvisi can step in for you.
I have no time to sit around and eat a 7 pound burger.
When does the success of the treadmill begin?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, I already lost 10 pounds, ladies and gentlemen. It's just easy. Any type of discipline, my body really responds to discipline, ladies and gentlemen.
What about clock discipline?
Yes. Well, I think we're doing well.
We're doing very well, but I mean, in the past. I'm wondering, what about this one?
I'm only worried about the now.
If we did it as a team, I would take the brats. They has 6 brats on it. Yes. I'll eat the brats. I love brats. I'll mix in one of a patty or two. Not a big hot dog guy.
Right.
Hot dogs are just kind of boring. Like, when you've got something as good as brats, why slow down to a hot dog? The same thing with ketchup. When you've got something as good as barbecue sauce, why do you mess around with ketchup?
I'll eat the bread.
the bread.
That's the filling.
How about the protein after you're on the treadmill?
I've got enough protein.
Get in my belly!
Nothing but protein right now.
Coming up next, Paul's call versus bacon. Maybe not. On 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The bread.
Paul's call is presented by Brooklyn Bedding. Order your mattress by three. Get it today free.
Hey, it's your call, man.
No. It's your call.
No, it's your call.
No, it's your call.
Hey, nitwits. It's Paul's call.
You know what? We've thought about it. And to call that play a little league home run?
That's the spirit.
No, that is just wrong.
There's a bunt deep in Fields, and he throws the first low, and he throws it away.
I mean, that eighth inning, they looked like the bad news backs. Okay.
Here comes a throw by Souza, and he airmails it, and the runner's going to come in and score. That's going to be a little league home run.
I mean, one bunt, two throwing errors.
Unbelievable. Two errors on the play.
The first E by the new guy. What is it, Jake Doinkman? And everyone, I mean, even going back to Mark Reynolds, right, in baseball history, goes with...
We look like the damn Bad News Bears out there, and it's frustrating as hell.
No, oh, I forgot about that.
No, that's not fair. Hit the brakes on that, because with Williamsport next week, Doug...
Hit the ball, buddy.
I mean, little leaguers everywhere are insulted by that comparison.
You're killing me, Smalls!
That's right. You won't see that in Williamsport.
You're killing me, Smalls!
Maybe the major leaguers need to worry about themselves.
They're killing me! Why are they killing me?
As A.J. Hinch would say...
People need to sweep their own front porch.
That's right. All you big leaguers...
People need to sweep their own front porch.
Because here at Paul's Call, we stand up for the little guy, the Dominion of Americans.
I triple dog dare you!
So if you're going to use Little League as a pejorative, then you get... The Sawed-Off Shotgun of Sports!
Oh.
Sports takes and Jeff Fisher Day, it says here on the calendar, in every
what?
Direction.
I'm not going 7-9 yeah. or 8-8.
Well, that's the question. Is today Jeff Fisher Day?
You serious with that question?
Coach Wiz, I mean, today's 8-8, right? 8-8, August 8th.
Here on ESPN 8, the Ocho.
ESPN is doing a big ESPN Ocho theme day. If you've seen it, they're all dressed up and they got all that kind of stuff. Since today's date is 8-8. 18.
If it's almost a sport, we've got it here.
So should the date, 8-8, always be Jeff Fisher Day?
I know what I'm doing.
Or should it be 7-9, like July 9th?
I'm not going 7-9. Right.
So, oh. You know, it's up to you. You can honor Coach Fisher in your own personal way, you know, as you feel fit.
I honestly didn't hear him okay. rooting for Jared.
Just stop it. Just stop it. Don't hate on our guy, Jared Goff. Lie detector! Of course, that Jeff Fisher clip is from Hard Knocks, and Fisher's former D coordinator now coaches for...
The Cleveland Browns have missed the playoffs for the last 15 seasons.
Right.
15!
Right. There you go. But there they are on Hard Knocks. And did you guys see the opening episode last night, by the way? Did you see...
Just clips.
Okay, all right. Well, the holy cannoli stat. The Browns' best record over the past 15 years...
I'm not... Going 7-9.
7-9 is the answer, just so you know. As for Greg Williams, let's just say he isn't known for being a nice guy.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
And at the very end last night, Greg Williams is lamenting how every year in camp he loses his voice.
It's
right.
Friday.
Yeah, like Detour Dan at the end of the week. He always loses his voice, right? Some coaches, you know, they just yell to hear themselves yell.
I don't know what we're right. yelling about!
You better be careful, though, because you'll permanently lose your voice like Calais.
Yeah.
Anyway, Greg Williams is on the field. A player says, you know, here's him complaining. He's losing his voice. And he says, hey, coach, you need a lozenge.
Coach, you need a lozenge?
No, I got a lozenge.
Williams, his response is, no bleep. I've got a lozenge. As that great American philosopher Happy Gilmore once said,
the price is wrong.
I mean, Williams just isn't a nice guy. Already in regular season form.
Coach, you need a lozenge?
No, I got a lozenge.
Is it really necessary just standing down in the practice field? I mean, you know.
Sounds bitter, Bo.
Yeah, a little bit. By the way, from the number one pick update desk.
Baker Mayfield!
Right.
Baker Mayfield!
As we found out yesterday, Baker isn't exactly known as Grinder Mayfield.
You ever come in with your boy Five?
He does his own little workouts in the morning.
Where's your own little workout in the morning?
Me?
Where's your own little workout in the morning?
Me work out? What do you mean, coach? Well, I'm just a rookie. I'm just learning over here.
He's fragile,
I
man.
Mean, you know. Coach, he's holding him accountable, though. Here you go. Here's the other scene in Hard Knocks last night. They made him sing in front of the whole team.
Start singing. They'll join in with us.
Yeah.
Country road. Take me home.
Help him out, boys.
It's for you, Wolf. Where? Where?
West Virginia.
There you go, Wolf. Sing along, Wolf.
Why is Baker Mayfield singing this song? That's what I want to know.
I have no idea.
Country road, take me home, ripping off my West by God Virginia Mountaineers.
Big John Denver fan, were you?
No.
I see.
That's all he did was like 15 seconds he sat down. That's about all, you know? I mean, it's a good thing he isn't backing up this guy.
It was one of the worst carded sessions we've had. I don't know how you can make it any simpler.
Aaron Rodgers ripping the Packers. He ain't going to stand for the scout team just half-assing it.
Baloney. He doesn't stand for baloney.
You better bring it.
The effort level is very low, especially what I'm accustomed to, having run that period for a number of years. So it's not a good start for us.
Your Jim Mora translation?
In my opinion, that sucks.
You know, I mean, these rookies better.
Wolf every time.
Never, it just gets me every time.
These Packer rookies better so figure sincere. It out. Because if you think like A-Rod is just NorCal, cool, dude.
Relax. We're going to be okay.
He ain't some Matthew McConaughey.
To that I say, all right, all right, all right.
It's not all right just to coast through the scout team.
Everybody else was kind of piss poor.
So there you go. By the way, what's the whole saying the Browns are going with now? The marketing slogan, the football from the heartland of America?
Football from the heartland of America.
What if we adapted that and went with Heatland for Arizona? Football from the Heatland of America.
Yeah. I don't know, Paul.
That would have been good if it wasn't for the Browns already doing
so much. Yeah.
I don't know if that's good,
Paul.
It's
time once again for No Comprendo.
I'll tell the boys in R&D at Calvisi Consulting to go back to work. Things that make us say
No Comprendo.
Oh, I don't know. I walk in this morning, the 5 a.m. club members, and on KTAR we get this story from Jamie West.
All right, a 68-year-old Houston woman had a surprise of her own for the man she says rode up on a bicycle to her house and exposed himself.
Okay.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
I mean, just stop it.
I mean, come on!
This really happened?
The man who rode up to Granny Jean's house on a bike and pulled off his pants has done the same thing in the past, according to police.
Okay, you got a dude out in public.
Well, what about your pants?
Right.
What about them?
Yeah.
Where are they?
They interviewed Granny Jean, who verifies...
guy pulled off his pants and ran up to my yard, and I told him to get away from my door, then I would shoot him.
She did.
She shot
did.
Him.
No yes. Comprendo.
Oh, she shot him, all right.
Get off my lawn.
She let him have it.
Shoot him in the ding-ding?
If you're going to be naked and be on my porch.
And he kept coming and reached for my door after it was dropped, and so I shot through the door.
Right through the door. She just went all Scarface.
Say hello to my little friend.
No pun intended.
And this naked guy, bad guy, learned the hard way that Granny Jean ain't playing now.
Granny Jean shot him once in the chest. He's expected to survive. Police say the same man was recently arrested for running around naked.
Police say the shooting does appear justified.
Oh!
So let that be a lesson to all the bad guys, naked guys out there, whether it's Granny Jean or that 11-year-old kid who was home in Alabama.
I told him I was going to kill him all that with a gun if he didn't get out of my house.
Right. If you're going to break into someone's house, you better be ready.
I have my signal.
That's right.
Unleash hell.
Yes, Paul's
thank gone. You, Paul.
That kid's hysterical.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's. You. Brought to you by Carol Royce. If you want to learn how to sell your house for top dollar, go to carolhasthebuyers.com.
My big takeaway from today's show is the fact that if you wonder why you're the PGA Championship and you're kind of worthless as a major, you start at 6:50 tomorrow, but yet coverage doesn't start until the afternoon. What else are you guys doing?
Tiger better not tee off in the morning or they're really missing it. By the way, you know what? I like it. Football from the heatland of Arizona.
Zach Greinke, are you kidding me? How can something start so poorly and then go so well? Circumference, peace and strife.
And then he got Hickman.
Tell me why.